just a couple of things to share in terms of things we're thinking about. I was talking to Sam Jeremy today in relation to the Harmony Mountain and generally in terms of media and how we're going to reach out to people in one sense, but looking at getting together on the Monday evening, the October, which I think is the 2nd of October, first Monday, for anyone who's interested in pursuing the sort of the bowls and the sounds and the healing sounds and frequencies and, you know, A, to sort of how they help us engage, and two, how anyone might feel like they're connected to them or might want to play with them and have a look at them. But we're really looking for a download, particularly in terms of how we use sound frequency to engage people. And I think it's got multiple layers of that. Mm-hmm. But one of them's here in the centre in terms of therapeutic ways of engaging people with sound. And so we're looking at that and looking at, you know, are there therapies, ways in which we can engage using sound, light, whatever God reveals, to then how do we then use that? So be open to all the mountains to sort of engage with that. See, is God revealing anything?
Is it open to everyone?
Yeah, it's open for everyone in the church, yeah, who might be interested in the bowls and the sounds and yeah, whether they might connect with them. I mean, I think until you sort of, until you play with it, mm-hmm, you know, you don't really sort of know exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, one of the things, I was talking to a few people the other day, and when people start talking about the same sort of thing, you know God's doing something. And they were talking about sounds and things. And that one lady who's up in London area, she woke up with this frequency in her head, like this note. And then she went into school. She works in a Christian school. And in the Christian school, the lady who was doing their whatever worship type thing they do ended up with this note, and it was the same note that she woke up with, and it opened up this whole realm for people to engage. I mean, it just like, and I've heard quite a few people talk about a note, not just a song, but a note, and that note almost like enables you to travel on it. It opens something. Now then, you know, another lady was like, we had that last week as well. We were together in a group and we started to engage them. And we just started to almost like, not hum exactly, but produce a note rather than a song. And it's she said it just opened all sorts of things up. So I think there's a sense where a particular note played in a particular way can open an avenue for us to engage. As well as, you know, all the actual frequencies of different ways to engage people. And I think the different colours, the different sounds, all those things may be related to lots of different things. So, you know, seven spirits of God, you know, we have colours. You know, seven redemptive gifts have colours that are connected to them. I know the Harmony Mountain has notes and colours and different things that they have connected to. So I just think this is just an opportunity, really, to explore. So I don't think we've even got any experts.
I'm not a musical person, but I was sort of aware of Sunday. There was a distinct sound.
Yeah, there was a sound around in the room. Yeah, I was aware of it. And I think it was, you know, a few weeks ago, the same sort of thing. There was a sound that it felt different. You know, it felt sort of a connectedness to something as a whole, which was really interesting. I just think it was like a, this is different, felt different. And I think there's something there just to pursue and see what God wants to do and open up with that. You know, we'll see. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't say any more than that, but we'll see what happens and see where we go with it. But I really do believe that we need a download of a strategy from heaven for how we use those things to interact with people and to, whether it brings healing or peace or opens their hearts up to engage with God. You know, people use music therapy and things a lot, but it's like, how are we going to use it? and then, you know, we're going to develop that. So that's one thing. Just to throw that in. So yeah, just give that out as a notice and, you know, encourage people to come and see. I think also in it, I think people have different reactions to different notes and how they're particularly engaged, and it might be interesting just to see whether that is an indication of something. I know William Branham, who was, you know, one of the most powerful sort of healing evangelist type guys, he determined illness by frequency. He picked up the vibration of something in people, and he was able to accurately say, you've got this, you've got that, and then minister healing to them. So there's something around that, that it may also be, is that hitting a particular part of the body? Is it piercing to the mind? You know, is it identifying a blockage? Because each of those bowls, you know, in a New Agey fashion, is linked to a chakra. Well, we don't talk about chakras, but we talk about gates. So if there are blockages in our gateways, do they hit against it and then create a, woo, that felt
Well, I don't strange. Think, so I wrote, so you, because you've said the second part, I'll share the first part,
yeah.
Which is that I personally think that we actually emit, that one of the things that we all do when we're living stones, because even the rocks cry out.
Yeah.
And so when we are lined up, we emit. So it's not an external effort that we undertake. There's a distinct difference between the playing of an instrument and a technical capacity and the completeness of becoming the instrument.
Yeah.
So I think worship, when worship is like, that's actually the beginnings of when everybody's in united in worship.
Yeah.
You're actually not fully, although you're doing something that allows you to reach a state of flow in harmony with others, whether it's singing the words or however it is you put all of the other thoughts down and just focus on being, then so I think, so whatever, it doesn't really matter what the external thing is, the objective is to play the one perfect note that God made you, so that you share that with everyone.
Yeah.
And then everyone's perfect note is what brings about. So I totally agree. When people are chaotic, it's like they're emitting a confused and noisy sound around you, and your discomfort starts way before they've said anything, because they're already out of tune.
Yeah, it's a discord.
There's already discord coming out of their every pore.
Yeah.
So I think personally that all of that, and whether that's body cadence, rhythm, pulses,
all sorts,
all of the noises, your influence in the quantum realms around you, your half, your other half of your quantumness, and all of that. But so I don't know that if that's the state of flow, then I don't know that it matters, because it's what works for you to get you into that place where you can put it all down and be in harmony.
Mm.
And I think we do get that on Sundays. I think sometimes you get testimonies and people bring things and they've got a week, and someday we'll get up and God will kind of do that work and say, okay, well, you can put that down, you can put that down, you can put that, right, everybody in.
Yeah,
you see that sometimes.
Yeah. And I think with whatever it is you're playing or whatever it is you're using, there's the intent that flows from you through it.
Yeah.
Because it carries something. I mean, it's like these bowls, you know, when I first heard them, I was just like, I felt something that opened up for my eyes to see something I couldn't see before. That I thought, ooh, wow, I wasn't expecting that. So it was like, normally I can see what's going on the outside of people and what they're giving off.
Yeah.
Actually, this enabled me to see what was going on the inside, at a real sort of a much deeper level.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting. And then when I was given one, I didn't know what to do with it. And I felt a bit like, dong it. You know, I knew what they were doing with it, but it was almost like, what do I do with it? Because I'm not known to be musical, in a sense, and I don't mind singing, but you know, I don't play anything. But when I started to do it, I thought, okay, I'm not going to try and figure this out. I'm just going to do something and let my spirit dictate what I do, whether it be this, that, going around this way or that way or doing this, whatever. And as I just let myself go and not try to do anything, and I felt that, okay, it felt like I could release on that an intent of something, whether it be healing or an opening of something. It was the intent that's carried on the resonant frequency, because that's what they describe them as, sort of resonating frequencies. So that, and they do, they go around you and they go sort of in, and it was a weird thing. It's just like, you know, when I first heard it, I thought, what is that? How is this going round me in the way it is, when so all someone is doing is sort of putting their hand on a bowl? But actually, when I started to do it, I started to sense that. So I think, you know, we can have all sorts of ways of releasing something. You know, it's like you lay hands on somebody and something is imparted or emanates, or heat, vibration, electricity, energy of some sort. And I think this is just another way. And we know, you know, God created things by speaking. So his voice carried, and it's still vibrating. You know, it says the whole universe is essentially held together by the voice of his power. So there's something about it, which I think, you know, we're being drawn towards. And I think it's not just this. I think, as Dave said, there's a sense where God is drawing us in a whole to be harmoniously connected to, you know, what's going on.
I was talking to Alice, or said a word or a phrase or something, and it started, one of the bowls started singing.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be interesting if they came out during worship, if they start singing.
Well, the problem with it is that they may not be tuned to the same notes as the musicians, because the musicians are tuned to 4-3-2, and these bowls are tuned to 4-4-4. So they
are they?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Are they modern then? I think they're quite modern.
Well, they're just made to. You can get some that are tuned to 4-3-2. Right. You can get them attuned to all sorts of frequencies.
Yeah.
But there's the 4-3-2 and 4-4-4 are the two frequencies that are different musicians play. The marketplace, they use 4-4-4.
Yeah.
We chose 4-3-2. Again, it may be intent,
yeah,
as well as just as that actual thing, the intent that you do with it. But I do think there's, you know, I don't know how they would, musicians would respond to that. If it wouldn't be played, but it did start to move, I mean, I guess that's a response to what's going on, as much as...
You'd be out of tune, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Something would be out of tune.
Some of us just wouldn't have a clue whether you're in tune or out of tune, but, you know, we would be just it's a sound. But I know they are tuned to 4-4-4, because we got a tuner out and played them, and they're sort of a combination of, most of them are slightly sharp.
Yeah.
So they're sort of the B isn't, but the rest of them are, the bigger ones are particularly another octave lower. But, you know, I think that's all open to what God might want to do, you know. I know the 4-4-4 tuning creates, is it a C as 5-2-8, which is a healing frequency, which is why a lot of people are tuning to 4-4-4, because actually the C becomes... sort of a frequency which is used to release healing, you know, but you know, that's all, you know, above my thing of tuning and all that sort of stuff.
Have you seen them, the bowls? No. You seen them, Beltran?
I've played them.
She's played them. We brought them all out here on one of our Wednesday evenings. We brought them all up and played them. and had a go at playing them. People were messing around.
We played with them.
We played with them. Yeah.
We hit them.
Yeah.
Well, that's my kind of music.
We hit them.
We did create some sound. But also, there's colour. You know, colour with them and different things. But I think if we just are open, if God reveals anything or downloads anything about how they might be used, how we would particularly use them therapeutically with people, as well as, you know, in general to, you know, create a thing, I think it would be great. I mean, I play them quite often during the day. I just go in there and dong them.
I hear them very loud, actually.
Are they?
They're very loud.
But it may be something that we could do to create something before we open, and actually fill the building with sound in the intent of that. Because I think we're on a journey with it that I think will lead us somewhere if we're willing to just follow where it goes. You know, and I can't say I have total insight into it, but I do feel that it is a journey worth taking.
I was thinking about it over the last few weeks. It's a question that's been floating around my head, was actually what does worship look like in the new?
Well, I do have a session possibly planned to talk about it, but maybe I've not got there yet.
Oh,
please no.
Well, yeah, because there's got to be something, isn't there, that God is going to unveil and release and bring us into, which is going to be more of a heavenly expression or an overlapping expression of being in those realms and flowing together with that realm, which I think, you know, is coming. Mm-hmm. I think we're not necessarily pursuing a lot, because potentially the people who are in the room, you know, if we were to sort of, hey, let's just explore engaging heaven, half the room wouldn't know how to do it, and therefore they would be alienated by what we were doing, rather than at the moment they can be included because we sing words and effectively those words carry something and the music carries something and they're included. I think if we were to sort of, hey, let's just all go and do this stuff, they might be like, we're just sat here as sort of lemons because we don't know what to do. And so I think there's a sensitivity to people that we are aware of.
It might start vibrating.
Well, you don't know. You know. But, and there may come a time where you have to say, okay, well, we need to look at how we do that another way or in a different way, or what that would mean for us as we went forward. Because it would be... It is very different when you know, I'm always engaging around the throne, so I don't often sing all the words. You know, I'm sort of picking up more than just words when I'm in that setting. You know, and that setting for me opens up avenues of engagement that is different from when you do something on your own, because there is a corporate nature of something together that's exponentially potentially able to increase things. And I often get assignments and engagements because I just find it opens up that and the opportunity for that. And in a sense, you know, if we were all to come together, I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, everyone has something. You know, everyone has a song or a psalm or when you come together. And it's like that, everyone has a note. You know, it's that type of thing. But if you take it into a heavenly perspective, everyone's got an assignment today. Everyone's got a mandate. Everyone's got this opening up. Or, hey, there's this portal now that someone is bringing something through to touch people. Or someone's gone into someone else's part of the world and they're ministering to someone somewhere else, whether in time or space, whatever. There's, I think all those things, I think, become possibilities once you look at, well, actually, what is here? Where are we? What realm is this supposed to be connecting to and in? Which I think is more than where we are right now. But you know, how we get there is another matter. I mean, you know, and I think people are individually I think, engaging in different ways, even while we're doing what we are. But it's not something that's being, in a sense, it's not the word encouraged, but it's not something that we are looking to create in that way. I think people are engaging because they can themselves, which that could be different if we had an intent to, hey, we're going to come and we're going to come around the throne room and we're going to engage with what's going on there and begin to interact and flow, rather than, okay, well, angels are coming here and this is something that's here. Well, actually, is it? Where are we? Where do we need to be? How does that work? I don't know. Some of it's, again, worth exploring, but we have to do it in a way to help people engage it and experience it, rather than think, well, I don't know, I don't know what you're on about. I can't do that. So when the time is for that, I don't know, because I think, you know, you wouldn't want to do something that people couldn't do. But then on the other hand, if we don't actually engage or attempt something, then you never go any further than you are. You're comfortable in the place you are and you don't step any, push the boundaries. So I think there are boundaries to be pushed in what happens when we corporately engage, which is slightly different from when we do it individually.
But if the hub of the nub of the rub is your relationship with Father, and the sharing of that with others, and that you're all brothers and sisters before God, because he's your Father, then that's probably the first bit of the relationship that needs to figure itself out. So those need to be the cultural references that you're using in your in your piece, when you're saying we are going to do this together as brothers and sisters. Not we're going to do this together as a Sunday congregation that doesn't threaten people we think that are turning up that can't cope with seeing that relationship. So I kind of agree with what you're saying, but I think it isn't about using the stuff that makes Sunday context for the people that turn up safe. I think it's the other thing, which is about, actually, if I'm in a place where I'm going to express me in relationship with everyone else, expressing them in front of God, and I think the rest will sort of take care of itself. It will mean that some will go, what's the average IQ in this room? It's threatening me, for instance. But that's, I think, the only way we're ever going to get to a place where we can dispense with having to manage relationships with people's bindings and just express our relationships as they are before God.
That's
kind of where I think I feel that I agree.
I think it's just how we navigate,
not upsetting, not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, or bringing everybody along with us, or on
navigating
stuff.
I also feel it's like what we've done is withdraw from personal ministry as a someone doing at the front, and that's a very deliberate thing to take the focus on. Well, it all comes through a person, we can all engage, we can all hear, we can all listen. But actually, probably there's a little bit where we've then not been looking to see that happen outside of a person doing it, but God does it. So the supernatural engagement with people, like salvation being the encounter with God and the light, and people weeping under the presence of God or whatever, because that presence is so there that it reveals them. And I think you can sort of, okay, well, we're not going to do this, but actually, are we looking to see that in another way, which focuses on God doing it? It's like, you know, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes and touches people, they feel it. There's a tangible sense. They might weep, they might feel lightheaded. They know something's going on, and we want people to experience the presence of God, which reveals who they are. Reveals, if they had never even met God, that God would meet them. And they've no doubt that something's going on that actually causes them to realize who they are and who God is. And I think we need to consider, how do we administrate that? Or are we legislating for it? Are we expecting it?
Well, are we pursuing it? Are we pursuing it? Because that's, because now you've just sort of given the answer, really, which is that if they're holding back because you don't want to upset people, because we don't want to step into that expression, that kind of expression of unity and relationship, because it might alienate cultural reference points of some of those in the congregation, and yet we think that actually is what God's trying to kind of outwork.
Yeah.
And actually, if we did do that, then that outworking would possibly
release what
solve the issue. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. No, exactly.
That you're holding back from.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a question.
Because what I think we could legislate for it, and it could be administrated. But you want to do it in a way that doesn't put the focus on a person, where it comes through that one at the front type of person.
Yes, yes, yes.
But actually, it's emanating everyone. From everybody.
Yes,
and it, but there's and this it overflow.
Yes,
yeah, there's an overflow that people just like, whoa, what is it that I'm feeling? Or, you know, particularly in terms of releasing that revelation that God is in people, well, wanting to reveal himself. That is a tangible thing.
You know? So I have a suggestion.
Yeah.
Why don't we experiment with the sounds and the bells and everything else and set a date in the calendar when that's what the Sunday service will be? Is that we will try and bring the new things that we find and share them unjudgmentally and everything else with everybody there on that Sunday and see where that goes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then we're setting out with intent when you're playing with the bells, which is to do the thing on the Sunday to share.
Yeah.
So there's an intent already before we even start.
Okay. Yeah.
Just to put that back up to the table and over to the seven, and we can just try that and see where that what
see
that
where it goes. Yeah.
Goes as a
yeah.
And then all effort on the way to it.
Yeah. I think our intent, our desire needs to be for a more supernatural manifested presence of God.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't coming an old way, but coming a new way.
Yes.
So that we are genuinely seeing an increase in that presence.
Yes.
Whether it's flowing through us, around us, whatever.
Everybody gets it, but they're suddenly given the illustrations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I think we can begin to look to God for insight into intent ourselves, that we're releasing that into the room, looking to see an outworking of that, because you know we've seen sort of things where people experience the presence of God, like just walking in the room in the building, like tangibly. You know, I know Becky has seen like people just falling on their knees, and like it's like whoa, you know. Yeah. And I think we need to look at how do we create that atmosphere. You know, how do we release that? It's not saying we create as much as release, nurture.
We arrive at.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but I think with intent.
Yeah.
Because I do believe we need to see an increase in the power and presence of God that's here.
Yes.
And not just when we're sort of having nice worship times, which is great, but actually just.
I think that's just. Here. But I think that's just a glimpse.
Yeah.
That I think what we've seen is glimpses of that, and I don't think that's about the technology that achieves it or any of that.
No,
I think all of that, it's like you've gone past all of that. It's like that's all been worked through, because actually, you know, it doesn't really matter. And do you see what I mean? It's that it's whatever holds you in that space, which allows that to
be released.
Yeah, well, I think so. So is that.
So what are you sort of, I guess you're the musicians are in the room, is this things that you've thought about? Is it things that, what are you feeling, what you...
Have I thought about it? In what way?
In sounds and what's happening. Obviously you've brought sounds into being anyway. Harmonies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if you guys had any thoughts or felt anything or...
How's it resonating?
Because I think it may include sound, but it may not.
Yeah.
You know, it may just be us, the sound, as Dave said. We're all we're all joined together with the actual sounds,
yeah,
and adds more to it.
Yes.
You know. I think it's an exciting thing.
I always go back to that whole thing of, well, if you don't stop mucking about, I'll kick you, or you can all go away and I'll listen to the rock sing, because they're singing to me all the time. And I'm thinking, so we make that much noise that you can't, you know, you can't hear. See what I mean? We're so chaotic in the noise that we make.
Well, I think sometimes, what I've noticed recently is when it's actually not been as loud, then you do actually sense more easily what is coming from people and the room.
Yes.
When it's full on, really, and I think, I don't mind it loud. I'm offended by the loudness. I'm unaware of as much going on in the atmosphere when the volume is such that you almost sort of, you're hit with a wall of something that you almost stops you potentially sensing other things.
Yes.
And a couple of times recently where it hasn't been as loud, it felt like, oh, I'm able to hear this, or I'm sensing that. And it's just like, oh, this feels different.
Yes.
Just because of, I'm not saying it's just the volume, but it does feel like you're picking up more, within it.
Yes.
I don't know.
Got distracted.
I was just saying, is when we didn't have a full band recently, and there was 3 weeks where there was a mixture of stripped right back stuff, it felt for me very different. Yeah. It was a very different feel to it.
Yeah, I think one's do to and the other one's do with. Is there any way I can describe it?
Well, I don't know how to describe it. Well,
that's what this is. Yeah. It's one you're tuning, one you're...
It felt, for me, that those...
Difference between reading sheet
music
and just
playing. There
were
3 weeks which were very different, with a different mix-up of things. There was a difference. I'm not saying better or worse.
It's
very different. And I felt, actually, there was more freedom for people to explore different sound and different things, personally.
And there was a little bit more space, I think.
Yeah.
That it was
space
a little bit like...
Call it what you want, but
I can just go with this, I think.
But you must... you're musicians, you're playing. Mm. You must have.
Well, we had intent on something, being different and not being the same.
Yeah.
It worked.
Good. And Sunday it was reasonably full band, it was only Jeremy wasn't there in terms of the numbers to make up a full band. All the other instruments were there. But I think it didn't feel as loud, and it did feel there was some space.
Jeremy's so loud.
It just felt there was some space. It felt there was space sort of be part of it. That was all.
I'm not saying what I'm saying as a criticism. I'm saying it as a
It's just something that it's an observation.
Oh, okay.
Give Red a wobble.
Yeah. What does that mean? I don't know. Well, I think the thing is, okay, well, let's explore. Let's be open to explore, and think like the musicians themselves being open to explore. Actually, the rest of us, coming with an intent to be, and to express, and to look for that to touch other people, and release it, deliberately by choice. A, legislate for it as a seven and mountains for a release of something, but actually all individually also come with I'm coming with something today, which is me, to release my sound into this room, or the sound that comes through me when I'm engaged with God, actually. So I think that's sort of that. Well, these are sort of all a bit intangibles, aren't they? But you sort of sense God is sort of drawing it into something that will, I think, impact and touch people in a different way, particularly to reveal God in them. Mm-hmm. The light would begin to shine brightly, that the sound would begin to vibrate in a way that people can resonate with and connect, really. So just something for us to look at, I think. I think the other thing I wanted to just take up is from last time when we got together, we looked at what do we see from a reality thing to create from our mountains, from who we're called to be. What do we see? And it was like we stepped into heaven, we shared things, everyone shared something that they saw in terms of their individual mountain or something that was connected to them within that context, and I thought it was really excellent. I mean, I don't know if you heard it, it's on Slack.
I kept trying to open it.
It just downloads, I think, when you click on it.
It does download.
Yeah, it just downloads to your computer, and then you open it once it's downloaded, I think.
I clicked it, and it said open. I kept pressing it, but it didn't come. Yeah. So I'm doing something wrong.
Is that on a computer or a tablet or something?
Tablet.
Oh, right.
Not so.
Yeah. But, you know, we can probably get you a copy to listen
to. Yes, please.
Yeah, and I think it was just good to hear people's sort of almost like part of their visionary dream thing of this is what we would like to see, this is what, but how do we do it? Because it's okay all of us saying, hey, here's some things we really feel are the heart of God and we would really like to see these established. How? Because, you know, has anyone feel they've done anything since the last time we met to do anything that would facilitate those things that you saw being released? And that's not a criticism. Sam's good. What did I say?
What was again?
Sam's head may be in other places sometimes. Yeah. Usually in reception. But yeah.
What is he saying?
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll like some water.
Duties. Church duties.
But there's a sense where if we don't do something, then nothing will change, even though we've seen things. So what do we actually do from a heavenly perspective and then an earthly perspective to see those things begin to manifest? Because I think that's the key. It's our responsibility in co-heirship with God, who inspires those things in us, to begin to outwork them and to begin to see them manifest. So, anyone have an idea of what is it that you do?
How do you do the things that you do? What do you do?
Well, I took it back to the Enterprise bench.
Yep.
When we stepped in. And it was an interesting time. As a bench, we haven't met for weeks and weeks and weeks through one thing or another. We were busy furtively working on the law of administration, the law of order, and I can't remember what the other one was. And then somebody decided to bring the law of disassembly, so we've been disassembled. And now we're reassembling, and we're going to re-bring our law of administration and our law of order. And I can't remember what the other one was. Because they are about, really, the watchword, I think, is great people to do business with. So what would it be like to work with an organisation that were plugged into God and trying to outwork God's things in the world that we live in? How would it look different to all the things that are in the world that we're in now? And it would be excellent people to do business with. So we took that in Enterprise. We really got that, but didn't take it. And what it ended up looking like is we're not the meal on Enterprise, but we are an ingredient of the meal. So you wouldn't really want a meal entirely made up of curry powder or chilies or salt or whatever it is. But you would want a meal that would be recognised as a meal. So it's back to this thing we've always had this feeling about, because that it is, everything's for good, and the nonsense I've had to put up with in my time for the places I've been obviously has something to do with whatever comes next. Same with Nigel. Same with Joe. So I think that's why we've kind of been loaded up on Enterprise. So it's giving a view. So I think whatever the thing is, we definitely have something in there. I mean, I'm currently, God's got me working on something unrelated to film, although I went up to London for the project work, so that was definitely inspired. God sort of prompted me to go there, which was not something I'd have volunteered to do. I'd pulled my back, and then I spent a day in a car. You know, these two. You know, but as it is, Nigel got a new car. That's a weird thing, you know, which was comfortable. But the end piece is that that's quite an important piece for what's happening with the project part. And obviously I have something to contribute to that. So I suppose it's that. It's recognising what So from there, it's about enabling, encouraging, empowering in that side. So the other side of it is about legislating and understanding for administration, order, and doing those types of legislation.
Yeah.
So that's as far as we've got.
Okay.
So is it Dragon's Den?
Dragon's Den, yeah.
Dragon's Den. But another thing about Dragon's Den, which is interesting, which I'll point out to the guys, is that if they're not interested in the thing, they're a bunch of dragons, and they go, oh, this is rubbish, are they? What a stupid thing that is. Why would anybody ever want that?
Overvalued.
Overvalued. You don't know your maths, get out of the thing. But if it's something they want, the person presenting it, the way in which they present it, or the idea, they completely change their tune. And they never really, they all pitch first time round with money, because the person that's come in has got this perception that they need money to do whatever it is. So they say, well, okay, take the money out, there's the money, I'm going to offer you the money. But in addition to the money, I can offer you my experience. I'll work with you on a daily basis. So they then have to get into selling and pitching as dragons. So it's a sort of a bit like that. Okay. I've set out my tables. We did step in about it. We did think about it.
Okay. So any of the other mountains take it back to your ventures and engage with it? In terms of further?
Yeah.
What came out of that?
I think that Sunday actually. I mean, for the
vaporizing.
Yeah, because we had the Lost Session style set. That was, you know, obviously that felt like it opened something.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. We felt to bring the frankincense and raise the atmosphere. And
yeah. Okay.
That's what we did.
Okay. Awesome. Any other notions? Do anything? Say anything?
We've
had some discussions.
We did meet. Well, we met last Thursday, but we didn't do blessing business, so no, I haven't.
Okay.
I think that's quite a while ago we met, but I did, and I think I brought, what I brought was actually to encourage the three guys that were there, and to actually what would they want to see, what would they, so actually that's, I think that's what we've done, that's what they brought, some stuff that each one of them. But as from a problem and my perspective, hopefully we can do that tomorrow.
Okay. Did you?
Well, we kind of we did a court case.
Okay.
But
that's okay. In relating to
I think it's kind of in relating to per se, but I think more or less like the man group that was, I wasn't there, was meeting, and I think. For Claudia and Peter, they're having quite a lot of flack from their family. Did this all come out then?
Yes, it
did. Because one of their children is like very concerned about the teaching that they're getting.
Oh, right,
and they were really afraid that actually they're going to be disowned by their family because they didn't feel that they could explain properly what was going on. So Emma and I got to do a court case about like people's fear, if you like, of was it a... of like explaining things. So in light of all the stuff that we saw last time, it's not directly related to it, but it kind of is when you're talking about manifestations and angels and colours and this and all the things that we've seen about the good newsy stuff as well. So we did a court case about people explaining it, feeling tongue-tied, feeling scared, fearful, what's it going to mean, being alienated and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Which
Yeah.
In light of talking about the bowls and things like that, for some people it just drives them into a blind panic. Because how am I going to explain? How am I going to explain this? Or what's it? So what we felt to kind of clear the air on.
Okay, well I think that's interesting because I think the more we do actually engage with things which are restoring, bringing back things which have been counterfeited and which are used for other purposes, obviously that can create a fear, okay, we don't get an awful lot of opposition, with them, because essentially I legislate for that in that I only want people to see and hear what we put out who are ready to engage it. So I don't want people who are who will it will offend and cause them to get angry or try and, you know, brand us as heretics or whatever else. I try and shield that, and I legislate for that. Being on the sort of far mountain, it's like part of that is, okay, I want people to hear this who it will go in their spirit, ooh, that's challenging, but something in there is drawing me. Whereas rather than the... So when I do come across people like that, I don't get into a debate with them.
Mm.
I don't try and answer.
No, this was,
explain.
This was their children.
Oh, yes, yeah, I know.
And they were very... I mean, it's interesting because I... Well, we did the court case and we got some truth. You know, we did what we felt to do. And then I just felt like to find the law of truth, which was like, it's not something that I particularly... Mm. We found it. And actually, most of what we'd done and what we'd been seeing was in the law of truth. So we kind of felt to focus on
releasing
that right now. So releasing these... authorities' rights and powers as the opposite of the accusation. So,
but I do feel it is a legislative thing, because we do need to be protecting, and we do also, I think, need to be encouraging people that they don't have to have all the answers, but what they need to do is be able to just say, yeah, but my spirit is in tune with it. I don't understand everything, but it's okay because my spirit is, and leave it at that. Because if you try and explain it, and you're not very good at explaining it, people can tie you up in knots with, well, what about this verse, and what about that verse, and what about that verse, and where's that in the Bible?
That was possibly what was going on.
I think the concern was not being able to explain it the way Mike would explain it.
Well, no one can explain it like I can explain it.
Because they said, we'll explain it.
I think also because they have some questions themselves, it's just like they're okay plodding along and they're getting revelation, but they're just afraid that their family's going to disown them.
But I think in that, I would encourage anybody not to feel that they have to defend or explain everything, but just bring it back to, look, I'm on a journey and my spirit is okay with this. I don't feel in any way, you know, threatened or anything else. So please, you know, just be aware of that, rather than, well, I'm going to try and, because people will want to argue. That's the whole thing. It's the, we want to prove that we're right and you're wrong. This isn't right. And if you get involved with that, essentially, you get drawn into the political spirit, religious spirit argument. Yeah. And it's better just to say, look, I can't answer you, but actually my spirit's okay. And just, you have to try and leave it there and don't get drawn in. Because I have the potential to get drawn into all sorts of arguments, which, you know, I've stopped even engaging with the people who want to always argue and just say, I bless you, you're totally entitled to your opinion. I'm not going to try and change your opinion. That's not what I'm here to do. I just need to be me. You know, so almost like we can help people by helping them that they don't have to have an answer to everything. And actually not trying to have an answer is sometimes the best thing, you know.
Yeah. Press on for the revelation, mate.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can get in the road, can't you? And actually, what are you going to ask God?
Well, yeah. Well, that's what I actually say.
Ask God the question for themselves.
Well, yeah. That's. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I say to people. You know, if you are arguing a point, where did that come from? Did God actually tell you that face to face?
Yeah, but that's the fundamental issue, though. As soon as you need to prove yourself right.
Yeah.
And punish the person who is wrong, you might as well give up.
Yeah.
If that is the mindset that you're dealing with, that a person needs to sustain a belief that they have to have the right, and therefore you should be punished for being wrong, you're on a losing thing.
Yeah.
Because there's no condemnation.
No.
And that's partly what we've felt right now, that it's the atmosphere needs to be changed.
Yeah.
So we dealt with the accusations that we got, and we felt that we could change like fear to hope and
top move
peace and
definitely
in that sort of
and keep administrating that whole truth thing because you know there's no fear in love
that's what we felt.
There's no fear in love,
changing fear to hope and faith and peace
but you know we've got to be prepared that the enemy does have the desire to create discord and fear and anxiety and worry and through all sorts. Now, if we're shielding in one sense, it's very difficult to shield someone who's their family, and that's where probably needs another layer.
Well,
of...
Well, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Everybody wants their, nobody wants to feel like they're going to be alien, and they felt they could be disowned, I think, from particularly which is...
Well, yeah, it's not nice, no.
No.
Yeah. But it is one of those things that, you know, has happened to people, you know, like Jesus, for instance, you know, totally disowned, by his own family.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So it does happen, but we obviously want to mitigate against that. But when we're looking at what are the steps to take when you've seen something and you know something's in your heart, what do you do from a heavenly perspective? And I think that's the thing where we need to establish things in heaven first, so that then we can be a channel for those things to come into the earth. So from a heavenly perspective, you have a vision, you've seen something which is a blueprint for something to be at work, to be released, created. What are the next steps? And I think that's the key, how you then create something in heaven, and you establish it in heaven so it can be at work on the earth. And what I've learned in my own sort of discovery of these sorts of things, it's to do the same sort of stuff that God did. You know, how did he start anything? Well, he had the desire in his heart, he had the thought, and then he spoke. So he called things that aren't as if they are. So it's like light be, and then there was light. But he had to call light to be for it to actually be. And so one of the things we can do is to take what we've seen and start calling it into existence, calling it forth. And the sort of the illustration that God has been showing me with this is that, you know, I traveled up the Amazon when I went to Brazil, and I was absolutely shocked at how big it was. You know, I thought of a river, you know, like, here's the Tor. I knew it was bigger than the Tor, but you know what I mean? It's like, I wasn't quite expecting that it's miles wide at points. And I'm like, this isn't a river, this is an ocean. Where's the other side of it? You know, I thought, wow. And then I remember we were watching a program about where did it start? And up in the mountains of Peru somewhere, there's this little trickle that's coming out of the side of a hill. And I'm like, how can that become this? It doesn't appear to be possible that this little trickle can become something which is miles wide and billions of gallons of water flowing. But when it starts to flow, it draws from it everything around it. So all the other things that are flowing are drawn to join with that. So when we begin to call something forth, it's just like we're starting the trickle flowing. And then the other things which are part of that coming into a flow start to get attracted. And heaven starts to get attracted, and the angelic realm starts to get attracted, and resources start to get attracted, and everything will start to begin to flow. And as we continue to then administrate that flow as we're led, you know, we can then make declarations for this to flow. Okay, how are we going to fulfill this? Well, we're calling for, I know, some of the things we saw, you know, were to do with people and salvation and good news in touching people's lives. And okay, well, where does that start? Well, with us beginning to call it forth. We call forth the environment where people will engage the presence of God, the things we were talking about already. We start to administrate that from our spirit with the passion and desire that we've seen, because that stirred something in us. That's why we've seen it. And then that sort of motivates us to begin establishing in the heavens. We might need to send the angels out with the messages that will connect to people or to people's dreams or to will draw, because most of the resource that we need to fulfill everything that we are called is people.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there's finances and stuff attached to it, but mostly it's people. Mm. It's the creative expression of people. So how are we going to see those people come? Well, we need to send out a sound that draws them. So we can release the sound of what we've seen as a frequency that comes from our heart to draw those people. And they may not even be here yet. But the sound will go out. Whatever you feel to do, send out a message, send out an angel with a heralding trumpet. I mean, you know, there's billions of things we could do, but it's doing something that actually begins to frame that stuff up and draws those things in. So the decrees and declarations are connected to what we called forth. And, you know, all the things that we are going to need to see those things fulfilled, we have an agreement with God called our ketubah, which says those things actually belong to us. So we can use that authority to begin to call them, to manifest. All these sort of things are things, you know, consistently. I do. I mean, I'm doing it for the Far Mountain and things. You know, I'm doing it for the Joshua generation. I'm calling people to come out of the wilderness. I'm calling people to come out from under people's coverings. I'm calling forth increases in revelation that would inspire. I mean, that's the stuff I do all the time. I'm just like, because I'm just passionate about wanting to see what's in my heart, that vision fulfilled, which is a whole generation of people raised up to be able to fulfill their destiny and lead the next generation into theirs. So it's like, how is that going to happen? Well, it isn't just going to happen just because I'd like it to. I'm doing whatever I feel led to do to see that fulfilled. And there are times when that didn't seem to be much, and then all of a sudden sometimes I get a boom, something that's like, oh yeah, I need to do another sound. I need to release something else, or send angels, or all sorts of different things. And sometimes it's using the legislation that we've already got. I start decreeing the law of religious freedom, that people will be set free from their religious mindsets and bondages, so they will experience the truth for themselves, and all that sort of things is things that we can do from where we're seated in the heavenly places, you know, on our mountains, our thrones, to begin to get that trickle going. And then that trickle will actually start moving towards us. And actually it starts to come through us, in fact, because we are the gateway for the manifestation of that into the earth. You know, and that comes through us, you know, in various ways, but essentially we carry it in our heart, we're passionate about it, it motivates our thinking, our desire, and that then, okay, what do we do on the earth? Because ultimately, everything that you do starts with a first step. You know, and what is that first step? Because we've established it in heaven, then it's unlikely that anything that we actually see comes fully formed, because it's flowing towards us. So it's increasing in momentum as it flows towards us, rather than here it all is. Oh, great, it appeared one day. You know, it's and we then begin to, what is our part in an earthly perspective to be able to engage that? So, you know, one of the things that, you know, I've been thinking about in terms of being a resource, having resource, you know, is the sound and the things to engage people to see what we do here bring people into a relationship with God. And looking at what is that from a therapeutic sense. So I've been, okay, what do we need to do? So the first step, when I talked to Jeremy and Sam, and I mentioned to Becky and I said, okay, you know, I started to call for resource for this, you know, specifically. And I started to, before I went away to Seattle, for a month or so before that, I started to call the resource to come in that would be the seeds that we needed to be able to plant to actually start to see things start to grow. And that was people, but it was also finances. And when I got back, you know, we had a cheque for £5,000 specifically for Freelance Historic Resources from some nice guy in Wales. You know, I mean, which was like, now I saw that immediately. As soon as I saw the cheque, I thought, "Ooh, this is our seed. This is the seed that we've been given now to start sowing and planting." So it was immediately, okay, well, what do we need to do? How are we going to use this resource? Because now we've been given something out of the calling, what are we going to do with it? So, okay, let's get these bowls. So, okay, then there was a few other things which just said, okay, well, let's invest this. Let's sow it. Let's use it to then give us something which will then begin to see things come forth. And, you know, we've not spent it all. We only spent a little bit of it. But we've got something there which actually I think God has given us to say, okay, how are we going to use this potentially to begin to take the first steps in a number of things that we may well need to invest in financially, but also within time and things with it, to see the next step. Mm-hmm. And I think there are probably other things that, you know, I mean, like, you know, Mark's thing was like a cinema. You know, well, it's unlikely that we're going to get, you know, whatever, Scott's cinema tomorrow, but what could we do to invest into something that will be the steps of seeing that fulfilled? You know, what we can do, other than what we do in Nevin, what actually could we do as the first steps towards that? And the same for all the other things that we are looking to do. What are some of the things we could right now begin to sow and see something in the ground for a harvest, whether that be, you know, practical things, other things. The first steps are usually what begins to see an expression and an outworking. And that could be anything. And so I'm not saying what it is, but I just think there will be some things that we get inspired to think, yeah, we need to start that. We need to begin something. We need to take the next step. So, you know, I've been talking to Jeremy and to Val Trout and others about, okay, do we have a mandate to reach the New Age people group? And it was like, yeah, I really feel we do. You know, God's actually given us two occasions to engage them, and we will. But next year, do we want to go last minute, unprepared, or do we really want to see, we've got a whole year almost to create, call things, have things in a place where when we go next time, we're in a position of, we're going with a greater degree of authority because we've called for that people group to come, we've, you know, released sounds to that people group. You know, we might even put on a bowls evening here for that people group and invite them to come and explore supernatural sounds with crystal bowls. But we're, the intent that we have when they're coming is they're going to engage with the presence of God and the light, and they're going to engage God. Because we can start to begin to creatively see how to do that. You know, and in all of things, like we know here, the people here in this building that we engage with day by day, they're a people group that we have a mandate to reach. But what do we need to do next to reach them? What are the outworkings of the good news reaching them, or harmony reaching them, or media reaching them? What do we need? What have we got? What resource are we seeing come to us that are the next steps? Because if we don't do anything, nothing really will happen. This, you know, every journey starts with the first step. Mm-hmm. Yes, you might think about where you're going and get a map and go all the things so that when you go, you've got water bottles and all the stuff. But if you have all, you can be laden with kit. But if you don't take the first step, you won't get anywhere. So what are some of the things that to do with what we saw last time and any other mandates that we've got as mountains do we need to take, you know, as next steps? So, I mean, like Sam has produced two pieces. What is a psalm? It's a psalmist. So he's produced two pieces of music which have the intent for restoration and for healing and for peace and for other things that are coming. Now, you know, he took a step. Now, then once a step is taken, then things will start to come and join that step. And that could be other people, it could be resource, it could be, you know, a nice Apple Mac that's going to enable him to do things more effectively next time. You know, so, you know, and each of us, what are the things that are the steps that we feel we need to take, having done the heavenly stuff? Don't take any steps without having done the heavenly stuff first. But having done the heavenly stuff and continue doing the heavenly stuff, actually there are some practical steps, I think, which it will be worth considering, engaging the benches, saying, look, what are we actually going to do? And what do we need to do that? Because it isn't just a matter of, oh, well, we'll go ahead and willy-nilly. There's a strategy. There's things to think about before you do things. And that's where, like, enterprise and other, they have some insight into, well, this is how you make something come about once you've taken a step towards it. You know, and there are questions to think about and various things. So it isn't just sort of a, hey, let's go and do a whole lot of stuff, but let's see, where do we need to start, and then how do we then move forward having started, and begin to look at how do we invest into what is going to come about. And, you know, it may be that we prioritise certain things, you know, that it isn't just a matter of, hey, gung-ho, we all go and do some things, but here, I think this is where we can begin to prioritise the seasons that we're in and the things that we see in those seasons, so that those things can then be part of the momentum of this river that's flowing, bringing life wherever it goes. Because ultimately that's the purpose of everything that we're looking to do, is to bring life and to bring restored life and wholeness and health and peace into that, you know. And I think that's, you know, where I would just encourage again to be able to engage with God, and from that those engagements, just begin to see, is there a strategy? So if you well, what are the first steps? Well, you know, go to the strategy room in heaven and ask for an earthly strategy. If you don't know what to necessarily do from a heavenly perspective first, go and ask for a heavenly strategy. You know, so you can get something which is inspired by God to say, this is what we're going to start to look to pursue. Because I go back, you know, a couple of years, well, 2 or 3 years now, and you look at where we started reaching people and reaching out to people. And it was like God said some things, I resonated with them, but couldn't see how to do it. So, like, I don't really know where to do this. So it's like, well, you know, and God said, well, that's not good enough. You know, are you going to do it or not, basically? You know, but he gave me a vision, an encounter that inspired me, because I saw the world, you know, and I'm like, whoa, I feel I'm connected to this. Well, what did I do next? Well, I went for a strategy, because I didn't know what to do. I started, say, okay, well, if this, I say yes. And I started the decreeing and declaring connections around the world, calling for people to connect, to make contact and everything else. And then, okay, what's the strategy? Well, the strategy was connect with the people you know. And that was 14 people. And I didn't really know them. I just answered their questions. Mm-hmm. Because God had already prepared for this when someone said to me, do you mind if I create a forum where you could answer people's questions? So I said, no, of course not. You know? And I did for 12 months or so. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was called Preparing for Destiny. And then when God said, well, now approach those people and ask them if they want to actually connect. And 3 people said yes. That's what got, that was the first step to 1,000 people connecting. And the resource that's released, both to us, by us giving and sowing, we've had multiplied back. So it's like my time I sowed into mentoring people, talking to them, answering their questions face to face, you know, And as that then opened up, God opened up all sorts of people to connect to. You know, then he told me to use Facebook, which I didn't want to do. You know, Deb would probably attest. And was like, Facebook.
No, you can't get him off it.
I'm not on it that often. But I post what Jeremy posted. Well, but in a sense, it was like, that was another step of the strategy. I had to do something that I didn't want to do. I had to set up a Facebook account, and I thought, I didn't know how to use Facebook. I had no idea about it. I'd never even engaged it other than saw Deb there, you know, posting things on her computer. Right. You know, but I never actually used it. But that was a step of obedience to do something I didn't want to do. That opened up all the other connections to then connect with more and more people. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, all along I've been in the heavens continuing to call those people, the correct people, the right people to come out, find them on their journeys, help inspire, connect them, all that stuff. It starts somewhere, you know, and it starts somewhere where actually it's almost like, okay, God, if this is going to happen, you're the only one who could make it happen, because there's no way I can reach 1,000 people that I don't know around the world and they would actually become part of a community that we are now not just blessing, but they're blessing us. You know, now we have two people that employed because of that and are facilitating, engaging with that as all part of, hey, could we have done that at the beginning? No, because we didn't have the resource. You know, and as we just took a step of obedience, it has opened up things for us to then increase what we can do. And I think for all of what you've seen, it's like the steps towards it may at the start look like, think, how? You know, what do we do? Well, you just take a first step. Whatever God says to do is the first step, do it. Take that step, and then we'll start to see the thing will start to gain momentum and move towards us, and we then move along with it. But it does take, you know, initial things and ongoing things. You know, I'm continually legislating for how we connect with people, gather people, because we, you know, we, when we engaged the Far Mountain, you know, it was these sort of things, was it connect, gather, equip and
impart,
release, that was it. You know, so it was like, okay, how do we do that? And I've been involved in connecting with people, gathering with some people in different parts of the world, and now God is saying, I want you to gather those people here, or people here, and equip and release and things. So, you know, would we, you know, when I, 2 or 3 years ago, thought, well, we're going to do this here? No, I wouldn't have even considered it. But now, that is something now God has opened up to for us to be able to do. And we wouldn't have been able to do it 2 or 3 years ago either. We wouldn't have had the infrastructure or the capacity to do it like we have now. And I think each of us has the capacity to do that type of thing with all the things we saw last time and all the things that you have within your hearts and mandates for the mountains. It will start to come to fulfillment as you begin to release something towards it, whatever that might be. And there's no, you know, rhyme or reason formula for it. It's just whatever God says, you know. Because, you know, in my situation, having done what I did, it was a serendipitous sort of action, which was God using something to reach people. You know, I'd never even thought of a YouTube channel. It was not something I had any idea about, but God knew that actually that was the best, one of the best ways of reaching people. So he engineered it. You know, it was not even intentional, but it was responded to. That was the thing. And now, you know, we got, I don't know how many people a week, sort of 6,000 odd YouTube subscribers, and that's growing, you know, you know,
every day,
yeah. And now we found a way, hey, we can actually communicate with all those people who are subscribing every day and tell them more about us, which we never even thought of until we sat down and we were, I guess, throwing a few things around, weren't we, in the office? And we're just, I go in there and sit down and we just sort of toss a few ideas around and create some things. And it was just like, ah, how do we do this? And I thought, oh, we can't do this. YouTube won't let us. So Jeremy's, oh, yes, it will. It allows us to contact every person who subscribes. Now that gives us another avenue of reaching those people, sharing what we're doing, inspiring them. And it all started with, well, you've got 14 people that you don't know, but give them an invitation. And I think for all of us, I think it's like that can happen, to see the fulfillment of everything that are our dreams and hopes. And the same thing, like, think about the houses we've got. You know, it's like, you know, I know Becky and Nigel had this thing, well, we're going to have 300 houses or something. And it's like, people were like, you're having a laugh. I'm not even say it, but I could see it on people's faces. It's like, you're having a laugh, 300 houses. It's just like, you know, we haven't got any houses, you know. But that was the start. That was the desire that was in the heart. And then it was said. And it was spoken out. And I'm sure they started to do something in terms of releasing that. And then, you know, then someone gets up at the front, I think Phil, and says, well, we're going to have houses, basically. And it's just like, we don't know how, but we're going to have them. And then each step he's come back and said, now we've got this house. You know, and what happened? Somebody phoned us up and said, I want to buy a house and I want you to run it. Someone we never knew and was so far out of. I mean, the guy walked in here one day and he ended up like a rabbit in headlights with his family, with a Bible under their arm, looked like they came to a brethren meeting, and it was the worst possible day. That was the day we did all the flags and the portals with the seven spirits of God and the angels. So the whole room was set out, and this guy sat right over the far side, like, can't escape. Like, I didn't even know who he was. And then I said, do you know who that was? Oh, that was the guy of the house. I thought, oh. Oh, okay, it might come on the better day. But then he comes back to us and says, I want to get the house. So even the most, you know, bizarre thing that you think, oh, that's ruined that, actually, the fact that we've spoken it into being, it's a desire, it's part of our blueprint. Now houses are coming on board, and the desire of those houses was not just that we would be able to house people. Phil got up on Sunday, like, we want to do excellence, we want to show that people are valuable, this represents our whole view that God loves people, we want to give them a best to show that they're important, they're special. That whole dynamic, it was all part of, you know, the journey towards it. And Phil himself didn't want to do it. You know, he did not want to do what he's doing. Nigel said to him, I think this would be a great opportunity for you to be doing this role. He was like, no, I don't do that. Now he's like a pig in mud. You know, because he feels, hey, this is my part of me. You know, those things. So all those things, even people that come into alignment, even when they're in opposition. People's minds get changed by God when there's a momentum towards the outworking of God's desire and God's heart. You know, and yeah, we will have 300 houses one day, if not more. Yeah. And we will have our own Green Pastures type organisation. and Mark will be the gaffer over here and all the other people around. But all that is part of a plan which will move things forward even more than we can see right now. But it starts with, hey, we've seen something. You know, we all saw something last time, you know, and you've already got things in your heart. So let's take the next steps and engage heavenly things, but also what are the next earthly steps? You know, and you know, come back and share them. You know, come back and say, hey, you know, because I think I know that God will enable us to fulfill everything he's called to do if we participate as co-heirs in the process. If we expect God to do it all, then he won't, because he's calling us to take responsibility in government to take those things that we can do. And, you know, we give him the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he'll multiply it. But we've got to give him something, and that might be our vision, the declarations, our time to seek him, whatever it might be. He'll multiply it and increase it. And if you think about it, you'll probably find lots of illustrations of things that we're doing now that started with a dream. I mean, this whole building. I mean, everything we're doing, where did it start? It started with a prophetic act in Fortress School when God said, hold hands, because we were already, the band were in the middle of the room, because we used to do crazy things like that at that time. No chairs. Band were in the middle of the room, and God says, hold hands and look at each other. And we're like, okay. Now turn around and prophesy to the community, we're here for you. Now that lost half the church in 6 months. And when the last person left, the first person who was addicted came. And as a result of us connecting with people who had those sorts of issues, we responded to the homeless situation in our area with doing a monthly soup kitchen on a Monday. And I did it with, 2 or 3 people who, were sketchy to say the least. But actually, I did it with them. But we did it.
Not a sketchy one.
And then, never one of them. But well, then what did God say? And God said, you need a place where you can do this every week. Because we had no intention of having a building. In fact, God told us not to have a building. So now he's telling us to have one. So now we've got are we going to be obedient? Did we get it wrong before? No. It's just now he said something else. Then we get some big guy comes in and prophesies that we'll be a Heineken church. Reaching people that other churches don't want to reach.
Graham Jones.
And that sort of added some momentum to it. Oh, thanks a lot. Because it's not exactly groundless, is it? But we responded. And we didn't know particularly about heavenly things at that point in time, but we knew about prayer storming the heavens, and we did a lot of engagement. And what did we do? We then found the building. And I was actually sat at a prayer breakfast, actually next to what's he called? Guy from Ilfracombe, teacher. Chris Tucker.
Oh, yeah.
So sitting next to Chris Tucker, and he says, "You don't want a building, do you?" So it's just like, well, maybe. Can we come and have a look at it? And I remember we went in there, and Jim Jones was with. He started running round in a circle, going mad, in that building when we walked in it. Because we walked in it just to have a look, and he started running around like a mad thing. And it was just like, we got that, and then once a week we start a soup kitchen. And then we start cooking at home. Make chili, curry.
Oh, did you?
I wouldn't go.
She wouldn't go. I mean, she wouldn't have anything to do with it. It's like me and Pauline. I mean, I did the cooking. Pauline cooked the whatever the. No, I did most of the cooking. I'm looking at you. I did most of it in a big pot. We had one of the big bunny boiler pot. Made a big thing every week. Cooked the rice or the thing. Invite people. So then. Where did that go from? Oh, well, can you open longer than just lunchtime? Well, can you do something more than once a week? So then it's like 2 days a week, 3 days a week, 4 days a week, In that whole process, we just took a step each time to follow what God was saying. And then, Benita, who was, our administrator, said, oh, I'm going to go and work for someone else. Who can we have? Oh, well, I'll come, but I'm in the office.
By that time I'd helped you because people.
Well, yes, you had started to come.
Always are unreliable, and I always have to pick up the pieces. I'm not having anything to do with this, but people who were ever so committed.
Always with a good attitude.
Yeah.
Always with a good attitude.
I just told getting me there.
But God got her there, gets in the office.
By default.
I'm not coming out. This is my little domain, I'm not coming out. And then Phil says, actually, I want you to work on the floor.
No, he didn't do that. I was off sick for 10 weeks. When I went back, he said, by the way, I've changed the job.
Yeah.
You can't do that, I've done it.
But actually, all that has brought us to what we're doing today. From responding to a need in the heart of God once a month has brought us to here. So that trickle has now got a momentum in what we're doing. So we have a lot, and I think you probably can think of maybe lots of other things that are similar type of things.
One of the things that just came to me then, was that really update today, one was two guys in Buckinghamborough doing the fresh start with.
Yeah.
It's the first one, the little trickle, and you feel drawn to go and do some, connect and do.
Yeah, because step out, we're calling for people.
Yeah, and we knew, even though it's inconvenient and it's a long way away and what's this going to look like, we knew that we needed to respond, because if we didn't respond then they're like the first fruits of a new thing, aren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that comes out of connections that we have with people. Agnes, who's like, oh, you're moving down there, oh, you need to connect up with these people, because God has then things out there that are responding to us calling for people that we don't even have to do the work. Other people start doing the work on your behalf and start connecting and engaging in that way. So I think, you know, let's just be open to engage with God, to what are the heavenly steps I need to take, what are the earthly steps we need to start looking at, and then just feedback and see where does that fit in the flow of what God's doing. And everything else, because there are things obviously next year, looking to do conferences, intensives, then there's opportunity for people to be involved in that. It's not just about me doing teaching, it's about us engaging and demonstrating something of what we have here. The same thing with, like, we're doing this conference in January, in December, people are coming here because they want to interact and see what we're doing and talk to us about. Well, because we do have something, which is...
We've got a conference here, did you say, in December?
We've got the December conference over in Exeter.
Yeah, people are coming here.
People are coming here afterwards because they're coming from the US, they're coming from other places, and they want other places in the UK because they want to engage with us afterwards. So they're coming here on the Sunday and then the following week. Some of they want to interact. Mm-hmm. So part of that is us being willing to engage them. And 2nd of December is the Saturday.
You can't book yourself away.
Sunday the 3rd. Yeah. Sunday the 3rd, and then opportunity of engaging with people, showing them what's going on here, during the week. And I'm going to set aside my diary for the week to be able to interact with them.
Got the ticket.
But, we've had others come here. I mean, even the last few weeks, we've had two lots of people from California. We've got people coming, intending to come here from Germany to live next year.
Two guys were here on Sunday morning. They
ran, I would imagine. Yeah, I could see the religious spirits all over them.
Are they two young lads?
Yeah.
Because they've seen you at the wake, isn't it?
Well, one of them had,
He'd been before one of them.
Yeah.
But he was, I could see, he was, the religious spirit was stirred up.
Both of them, or one of them? Both of them.
The one particularly.
Then someone came in and stayed for about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And walked out a lot faster than he came in.
But you've got to, it's either someone's spirit resonates with something, even if they don't understand, or it reacts. And if people are going to react, then you just, they're not ready to connect in the way that perhaps they thought. Well, that's okay, but we still want to draw people to connect. And I don't know who the other lady was. Was the other lady the older lady? Who was that?
I don't know. I didn't talk to her.
Did Lynn know her?
Is it Sanna's?
Sanna's Linda.
Oh, she said she went to a church in Croyd, but she was more of a charismatic type person, so she was just came to have a look.
Oh, okay. Because
She used to wave flags, and she brought flags with her, took flags with her to her other church, but she's never used them.
Oh, okay. Well. There was plenty of flag waving on Sunday, wouldn't it? By all its sundering. Which was good. So, let's just be open to pursue and then feedback some of the things God's saying and start administrating in the heavens. There you go. All right? Okay, any other business anyone got? Stuff they want to share? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's lots of Sundays that are unaccounted for. If anybody would like to do, if God gives anybody a mandate for anything, that'd be very helpful.
Yeah, I'm probably away four out of five, I think, weeks. Because I'm in South Africa. We're away. And we're on holiday. So
I'm sure that's a South African accent.
I think so.
Room for improvement. But yeah, I mean, again, engage, see what God wants to do. I mean, it may be an opportunity to share mountain perspectives, re-envision people to some of the brochures, and you know, that's something that could be done over a couple of weeks. You know, everyone just sharing, you know, inspiring people, whatever. I mean, just be open to whatever God's saying. And if you do feel God wants you to share something, share it. You know, be open to share it. Be open to ask as well.
You know. That's the question.
Ask, are you willing to ask, is there anything you want me to do, God, in the next, you know, 5 or 6 weeks? You know, and go with that. Oh, thank you.